So, grab your copy of God's Word. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. I want you to check out this picture. Now, for the adults in the room, you may not know who that is. You probably don't know who that is. But ask your kids or your grandkids, and they'll tell you that that is who? Coyote Peterson. That's right, Coyote Peterson. He's a popular American YouTuber, a wildlife educator, a TV host. But he's probably most famous for getting stung and bitten, right? He literally takes the most dangerous creatures that you can find in the world and lets them bite him. He gets into what he calls the bite zone and puts them there to his forearm or his hand and lets them sting him so that we can then see how painful it is. The bullet ant, the murder hornet, the tarantula hawk wasp, the desert centipede, the cow killer ant, the black widow spider. But in this picture right here, y'all, he's holding the executioner wasp. The executioner wasp from the equatorial region of the Americas, right in the rainforest, right just south of where we are. And when Coyote Peterson, when he put that wasp to his forearm and was stung, here's what he said later. He said, "I just met the king of sting, the worst sting he's ever experienced." When that wasp stings you, it's like a sudden electric shock, like a hot needle driven deep into your skin. It's followed instantly by this surging wave of pain, along with redness and swelling, and it's not gradual, it's immediate and it's explosive. It can last up to 36 hours. What a terrible sting. But as we turn in our text here to 1 Corinthians 15, we come across something with a sting that far surpasses that. Any wasp sting, right? It's death's sting. You see, when death stings you, you don't just experience pain, you experience death. You literally die. And truth be told, we've all been stung by it. Every single one of us, whether we realize it or not, we have been stung by death. But on this Easter Sunday, there's good news for every person in this room and on planet Earth. Here's today's truth I want you to focus in on this Easter Sunday. The sting of death has been removed forever for those who are in Christ. Let me say it again. The sting of death has been removed forever for those in Christ. And our text gives us all the details of this Easter Sunday truth. Look at verse 51 through 58 as we wrap up this chapter. The Bible says this, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that's written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where's your sting?' The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. Let's pray together this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you today because there's no other name under heaven which we have access to you. Without Christ, Lord, we're hopeless. But in the name of Jesus, we can come to you with everything and receive everything. And so in the name of Jesus, we come to you and we ask that you would help us today to focus in and celebrate this glorious truth that's found here today, God. Death has a terrible sting, but you in your goodness have worked through the plan of redemption in Christ Jesus to save us from that sting. And we shall never experience it through Christ. I want to pray for the person this morning, Father, that has never turned from sin and trusted Jesus. I pray the Holy Spirit work on them. I pray, Father, there are people here today who are lost. And I don't want them to stay lost, Father. I pray that they would see their sin. And this very morning, this Easter morning, come to Christ and be saved. Would you move in our midst, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. The sting of death has been removed forever for those in Christ. And that's glorious news. But to help us maximize our joy in this truth, I want to ask and then answer three questions this morning. First, what is the sting of death? What is the sting of death? We see that phrase there mentioned twice in our text. There in verse 55. Oh, we see it again in verse 56. But before we think about what is the sting of death, let's first think about the sting of that executioner wasp for a moment, right? What is that? Well, it's a potent cocktail of neurotoxins, histamines, enzymes delivered through this needle-like, syringe-like apparatus. It's officially called an ovipositor, all right? It's very strong, sharp, hollow inside, just like a hypodermic needle. And when it goes into your skin, that's painful enough, right? I mean, just getting stuck when you go to the doctor, just getting the needle put into you hurts. But once that stinger penetrates your skin, the sting is intensified by these pumping muscles that kick in and fill you with all sorts of venom. You don't just get a drop. You get a full dose. It comes with this high histamine, this norepinephrine content. The contents triggers severe immediate burning, inflammation, swelling. Also comes these necrotic enzymes. When this wasp stings you, it begins to break down cell membranes. It leads to necrosis, which is the rotting of flesh, right? It can create a crater in your skin where the sting was. Also comes in neurotoxins, intense pain, right? Paralysis even sometimes, shaking and severe reactions. And then there are also vasodilators. That's these compounds that contribute to the rapid spread of venom by causing blood vessels to widen and swell. And so it's this terrible cocktail. So the sting of this executioner wasp is his needle-like stinger and the venom together, right? And then that pain, which is already great, is intensified by the muscles pumping you full of that venom, all right? So that's the sting of the executioner wasp. Now that helps us now to kind of understand and see the visual here that Apostle Paul's talking about here. What is the sting of death? Well, here in our text, Apostle Paul clearly tells us, we could summarize it this way. The sting of death is sin intensified by the law. That's what the sting of death is. Sin intensified by the law. If you're taking notes, that's your next blank there. Sin intensified by the law. And we get that straight out of 1 Corinthians 15:56. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. So death. For death, sin is like both the stinger and the venom, right? The sting of death is sin. So first, sin makes its entry point into our lives. It's what pierces us. It's the delivery pathway for the venom that's coming. And that itself is painful, but once we're pierced by sin, second, it comes with the venom of sin. Immediate pain, rotting you internally, physically, spiritually, mentally. I mean, it corrupts everything good that God made. It distorts and disrupts the world that's around you. But that pain is intensified through the law, the Bible says. The power of sin is the law. It's like the muscles in that wasp that just pump you full of venom. They don't just put a drop of sin in you. No, you get a full and overflowing dose, right? When the law comes to bear. Romans 5:20 tells us, interestingly, now the law came in to increase the trespass. So the law says, more sin, more sin, more sin, driving more and more sin into our lives, deeper and deeper until your whole being is saturated. The sting of death is sin intensified by the law. And man, we feel this sting all around us every day, don't we? We feel the sting in our brokenness. Right, fractured relationships and fragile peace. I mean, things are not the way they're supposed to be. And when they're good, they downgrade very rapidly. We've all seen it, right? We feel it in our guilt. There's this deep awareness that we haven't just made mistakes, but that we have truly done wrong. And we've done it over and over again. I mean, even when we say, I'll never do that again. I'm never going to do that again. Here we go, doing it again. We feel this impact in our shame. Not just that I did wrong, but I am wrong. There's something wrong in me. And it drives us to hide and to fear being fully known. We feel it in the slow decay of our bodies, right? Weakness, sickness, aching, aging. So much of this life is wincing and groaning. Just the other day, I was over at a friend's house, and actually it was his workshop, and I had to bend over and pick up something, and he's much older than I am, but even me at 46 years old, right? I've already got that old man grunt. I ain't even there yet, right? We all get there. It just intensifies as we go along. We feel it. The Bible says creation itself groans under the weight of sin. And you and I feel this most clearly in the reality of death, in the hospital rooms, in the funeral home. We intuitively, in those moments, man, we know this is not how it's supposed to be. This is not right. Death is an intruder, a thief, an enemy. Can we escape this sting of death? Well, beloved, let me remind you of today's truth. The sting of death has been removed forever for those who are in Christ. So now that we know what the sting of death is, sin intensified by the law, let's now move on to our second question, which is, how is the sting of death removed? And the answer is found right there in verse 57. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the key to all of it, right? His life, his death, but particularly his resurrection. So how is the sting of death removed? Well, there are three steps here I want to point you toward here. The first step we see here in the text is Christ's victory over death at his resurrection, that first Easter. Beloved, that's the whole foundation of 1 Corinthians 15. Christ has been raised, and he has been. He lived approximately 33 years, but on that Friday of the first Holy Week, he was crucified by Roman soldiers after being found guilty of blasphemy. Now, Jesus actually never blasphemed, did he? He was just telling the truth. I am the Son of God in the flesh. They said, blasphemy. No, he was telling the truth. I am the prophesied Son of Man. Blasphemy. No, he was telling the truth. I am the Messiah Christ. Blasphemy, they said. We don't need to hear anything else. Crucifying. They didn't believe him. In their hardness of heart and their gross spiritual blindness, they arrested Jesus, put Jesus on trial, convicted Jesus, then insisted on his execution. Now, they would have done it themselves, but Roman law said they couldn't. The Jewish people could not perform an execution. That's why Jesus was brought before the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. And Pilate, as you read the text there, he tried to avoid Jesus' execution. He said, won't y'all just let me whoop him and we'll turn him loose. Let that be good enough. But they threatened a revolt. Anything less than death, there would be a revolt. And so Pilate couldn't afford that politically. So he folded to their wishes, symbolically washed his hands, although he could never wash away his guilt. He is guilty as well in this whole thing. And at Pilate's word, Roman soldiers carried out the execution, which was by crucifixion. Now, Christ on the cross, he was there for 6 hours. And around 3 p.m. on that Friday, he died. And the Bible tells us that friends and followers, they quickly buried him in a tomb, a grave cut in a rock. Here's what we read in John 19, 38 and 39. The Bible says, after these things, that means Jesus' crucifixion, Joseph of Arimathea was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. And we pick it up in Mark 15. Mark 15, 46 through 47. And Joseph bought a linen shroud and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, was there where he was laid. So Jesus here, stone cold dead, wrapped tightly in burial linens, a massive stone rolled over the entrance. But we read further, Matthew 27, 62 through 66. The next day, that is after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said while he was still alive, 'After 3 days, I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead. And the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to him, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can." And so they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. So Jesus' body was quite secure in that tomb. And here it looked like death's sting had won, like it had every other time in history. But Sunday was coming. And that's where we turn to Luke. Luke 24, 1 through 12. Listen to the story of the first Easter. "But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise.' And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and the mother of James, Mary, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But their words seemed like an idle tale, and they didn't believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home, marveling at what had happened. And what had happened is Jesus had been raised from the dead. And that, beloved, is the moment death was defeated and the sting of death was overcome. Now, how did that happen? Well, remember, the sting of death is intensified by what? The law, right? Everybody say the law. I got to have y'all tracking with me. Come on now. Right? In Jesus' life, he fulfilled the law. He did all that God commanded human beings to do. He never sinned. He was completely righteous. So we've got that part of it done. The law's taken care of. But also on the cross, Jesus paid the penalty of our sin. The wages of sin is death. Yet Jesus didn't have any. So why did he die? He died because our sins were placed on him. They were imputed to him, right? Transferred to him. He died because of your sins, my sins. In our place, condemned, he stood. And on that cross, if you'll remember, Jesus uttered these words before he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. John 19:30, he said, "It is what, church? Finished." What? What is finished? Well, our redemption. Our redemption was finished. The earning of heaven, the paying of hell for us. And to prove that there's life and death, that his life and death is sufficient to redeem us, God raised him from the dead, resurrected him. And with that, the sting of death was destroyed. Right? Victory was his. And all of this happened that first Easter. But it spills over, right? It began with Christ, but it spills over into the lives who are in him, which leads us to the second step in how the sting of death is removed. That's letter B, which is our union with Christ through repentance and faith in him. Remember today's truth, right? The sting of death has been removed forever for those who are in Christ. So I say to you this morning, church, you must be in Christ for the sting to be gone, for you to be stung no longer. And how does that happen? Well, it happens by becoming unified with Christ through repentance and faith in him. You have to realize you're a sinner. You've sinned and you've fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. Death has stung you. You will surely die. And that's not just death on this earth. It's eternal death in hell forever. You have to come to terms with this. But then you must turn from that sin and cry out to God in faith to Christ to save you from your sins, right? Surrender to Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Put all your hope in Jesus. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. And here's the beautiful thing. You will be. You will be. You will be forgiven and saved from death. We've already heard this morning, but the hope of John 3:16 is God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So that victory over death can be yours by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, many of you have already come to know this. You've already been saved. But I have to believe in a crowd this large, there are men and women, boys and girls, who have never yet experienced that. You're lost. You've never been saved. You've never turned from sin and trusted in Christ as Savior and Lord. And this morning on Easter Sunday, God is saying, come, whosoever will come, believe, and be saved. That is the invitation this morning to every one of us. You can become unified with Christ, and His victory becomes your victory. And you can begin that victory today, right? And if you're in Christ already, you have that victory today. But here's the deal. The fullness of that victory is found in the final step here of having the sting of death removed, and that is letter C, our resurrection at Christ's return. Oftentimes with the promises of God, they don't all come at once. Don't you wish sometimes they did? They just, man, here they are, right? Boom, they're all here. But God says, no, this is going to happen. And then in faith and in hope, this is going to happen. And 1 Corinthians 15 is pointing us all toward this. We've seen over and over that Jesus' resurrection is what the Bible calls here first fruits of our resurrection. That means, y'all, that it's the down payment and the guarantee of our resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And that fullness of what Jesus bought for us in His life, death, and resurrection, it comes to pass when He comes again. Here's what we read in our text. Look at verses 51 through 53. This is what's going to happen at Jesus' second coming. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. All of that happens at the second coming of Jesus. You say, well, where does it say that? Well, it says at the last trumpet. That's the trumpet of God declaring, here He comes. When Jesus returns from heaven, He's going to put an end to all of God's enemies, including death, and bring an end to this age that bursts forth, y'all, into the eternal state. Heaven, as we normally call it. The fullness of heaven and earth, the new heavens and new earth, the combination of our dwelling with God. But not just a dwelling, but a resurrected body. And what will be the results? Look at verse 54 and 55. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Beloved, that's when the sting of death will be completely removed, completely gone from our lives. The effects gone. Everything that sin ruined will be completely restored, made even better, even more glorious than before. Complete victory of Jesus completely becomes ours in the moment of completion. Again, our text says, 1 Corinthians 15, 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody all praise God this morning. All right, amen. Give God a hand clap, man. That's what He's done. That's what He's done in the resurrection. And it's coming. Everything that Jesus had is ours in Him. And that's that victory. That's the removal of the sting of death. The sting of death has been removed forever for those in Christ. And now that we know what the sting of death is and how it's removed, let's wrap up this morning with our third and final question. How should we live now that the sting is removed? Well, it says this in verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. I know you see three things there, but there's really just two, right? The first one is unwavering in truth and faith. Unwavering in truth and faith. This is how we should live. We should be unwavering in truth and faith. Now that's captured here in the synonyms steadfast and immovable. They both mean the same thing, right? Since the sting of death has been removed, fear no longer gets the final say. We're no longer people who are tossed back and forth by doubt and by culture and by the circumstances that you and I face. We live lives that are firm, anchored in Christ. To be steadfast means that we know what we believe. We know why we believe it. We know who we believe in, and we ain't shaken. To be immovable means that we're not drifting. When the new idea comes along, when the pressure gets intensified, we're not collapsing when tough things come. And when the culture shifts, we stand on truth. When trials come, we hold fast to Christ. When doubts arise, we press deeper in to Christ and His Word. And we live this way because the greatest threat, death, has been defeated. It no longer has a sting. It's been dealt with. There's nothing left to move us or shake us. Christ has already won. But the second thing that we see here and how we should live is that we should be working abundantly for the Lord. I pray that you don't just come and hear a message today. I pray that you go out and live in light of it, right? These words, this hope, it's meant to be lived. Our lives should be different, and one of the ways it should be different is that you and I go work abundantly for the Lord. In Christ, our lives are no longer marked by like hesitation, but rather wholehearted investment, right? We're completely in. Paul says we're to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. That means overflowing, y'all. Effort, energy, devotion, not spectators, man. We are players, given our time and our gifts and, I mean, our very lives to what really matters. Victory again has already been won. That's why even when the results seem like they're not there, you ever done that before? You serve God and you're like, man, did this make any difference whatsoever? Know that it does. Even in those moments, small, unseen, slow fruit that's coming, right? We labor with this confidence because in the Lord, your labor's not in vain. The Bible said it. So nothing done for Christ is wasted. Every act of obedience has weight and bears fruit. Nothing is lost, again, because victory is assured in Jesus Christ. You know, as I think about, you know, Coyote Peterson there in the opening, he's actually retired from his search to find the greatest sting. He said, I've had enough of that. And I'll be honest, I would have had enough of it the first one, right? I mean, I'm done. I'm good. I don't have to be stung to know that it hurts, right? And a lot of us look at that guy and say, he is a fool. What a fool. And I have to say, it's pretty foolish to intentionally place an executioner wasp to your forearm and let it sting. But I want to say to you, those here this morning, you've never turned from sin and trusted Christ. The real fool is the one who ignores the one who lived, died, and rose again to remove the greatest sting you'll ever experience. What a fool is the person that ignores Christ. I say to you this morning, don't be a fool. The sting of death has been removed forever for those who are in Christ. So this morning, run to Christ. And for those of you that are in Christ, oh my goodness, here's my final prayer. May we rejoice and never fear death again, because the risen Christ has overcome its power. Glory to the risen Christ.